Hello, dear listener. You are listening to...
What are we listening
Geek Show
to,
Help
Lando?
No, Arcade. I knew I was going to screw it up. I knew it was going
to
happen.
Welcome to the Geek Show.
I was not ready.
Oh,
I was prepared.
I
have
so easy. I could do this.
You screwed
okay,
up too,
Lando.
Every once in a while, Tony.
I'm going to give you a hug.
Thank you, Jaren. I
Sometimes
appreciate
Tony
that.
Still says Geek
this
Show.
This is the Arcade Show. Yeah. We talk about video games playing video games, and sometimes we talk about graphics cards. Oftentimes we talk about graphics cards, and oftentimes way too much detail.
As often
but I think
as
you guys
we can.
Enjoy it.
Yep.
I think it's boring.
Let me just point this out right now. If you were to count words, this is going to be Lando's highest word count episode.
Oh, tell me about
ever.
It. 100%. So this is the
it's not his line's not going to be flat.
Exactly.
On Tony's screen.
Help Desk and Arcade are recorded as one file, and so. Even without looking, I know, or without listening, I know just by looking at the lines, okay, that's where Help Desk and
the
in-between
files,
ended.
Waveforms.
I look at the waveform. That's where in-between ended. That's where, and then everywhere on there, that's Arcade, because Lando.
That's a dead person.
Lando
that's
only
just
has
a flat line.
Three comments during that 40 minutes.
I have to be engaged and like paying attention right now and like being part of the show.
That's right.
And, like, this is a good change. Maybe I should just like host the show all the time and like keep things happening.
And you're the only one that's actually worked in the video game industry.
I know, right?
How's that?
That was a fun claim to fame when I first started the show, but now it's kind of lost its luster, I think. Anyway, let's introduce our panel of illustrious hosts of awesomeness, starting with Jaren.
Hi, I'm Jaren. That's it.
Yep. Owen, tell us about you.
That's me as well. My name is Owen, and you can follow me here.
And Tony.
Hey, check me out on Twitter at QuadTTony or on other Geek Show podcasts. And my camera is really washed out still, and I don't know why. But don't forget about our host, who is less washed out. He's Lando.
Yeah, I'm looking pretty good. I got two lights up here showing at my face. I'm looking pretty nice. Got a nice camera, right eye level. Like, everything's going great
for
Lando
today. Did you plan all that for just this week, or was that always the way it is?
It's been this way for a long time.
Oh, okay.
Ever since I've been doing the green screen, I found the green screen works better with better lighting.
Can you lower the green screen past the wires and that desk that's behind you?
I need to work on that. That's future Lando's problem. Here's the problem, guys. I don't work from home anymore. So, like, the first time I was in my office was, since we recorded the show last week, was earlier today. Like, that's how little I'm in my home office nowadays. So, yeah, this is the Arcade Show. We're going to talk about some video game type stoof. Let's go start with Jaren talking about some bad news first. Let's get that out of the way.
Mine's
all bad news.
Oh, sorry. We have emails. Sorry.
Have an email.
Emails.
Whoa, that was too loud. Sorry, guys.
We're all discombobulated today.
Yeah. Washed out and too loud.
Yeah. Got an email from Benjamin. He says, Did the thrifty have the ability to wiggle? Did the thrifty have the ability to wiggle?
I am holding back all of the jokes right now.
Why? Let's see. Thrifty?
Maybe he's talking about thrifty. Let me continue, and we'll see where he's going with this.
I'm assuming he's talking about a thrifty 50. I'm trying to determine which one.
Is it the one Owen talked about last week, the lap pillow?
Anyway, he
says... I don't know how that would wiggle.
Something wiggles.
Just you have to wiggle underneath it.
There was a small developer attempt to make the original PSVR functional as a PC headset. I did look into it back in the day, but was super buggy.
Yeah,
think what you will about Meta, but the Meta Quest 2, possibly 3, have some nice features. The AirLink ability really opens up what you can do with it, with a good router streaming to it. I agree.
It's
AirLink
true. Yeah.
is pretty awesome. Back when I was big into VR gaming, it's freeing to be able to be in a VR world, especially Half-Life Alyx, without wires around you. Then he says, it's interesting to see how far Wi-Fi has come. The data that Wi-Fi 6 can push compared to where it started back in 802.11b days.
Oof, oh my goodness, that's crazy. If you would have told me back then where it's at today...
Just how stable it is now compared to how it was back then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. I remember... When I first worked for UVU as a part-time employee right before my religious sojourn, I worked there for about 6 months, and the team I was on managed the Wi-Fi. And I remember thinking about Wi-Fi speeds, and they were getting the new stuff in. It's like, wow, this is amazing. Back when, what was after B? The AG stuff?
G.
G.
Yeah, that was when we first started transitioning over to that. I'm like, it was like, wow, this is amazing. But if I could go back in time and tell that guy today, like, this is where we'll be, I would have been like, no, you're wrong. Like, that's dumb. It'll never be that good. But here we are.
I'm still a hardcore wired guy because of that. Like, I just, though Wi-Fi 6 is coming up on fast enough speeds to not be noticeable.
The only way you can match wired is if your wireless stuff is all in the same room. Because 6 has a very poor penetration,
Because it's a high frequency.
Exactly.
Right?
So if you're in the same room as it, then it's crazy. It's super, super awesome.
Which in the corporate world, you'll have access points everywhere. Exactly. So oftentimes you are.
Yeah. But in your house, you know, your average person has one, perhaps two routers, sometimes three if you're in like a really big house. And there's still at least one room between you and the router most of the time.
To mention like conduit and AC ducting and all that stuff.
A bunch of metal stuff.
Wires.
But yeah, Wi-Fi is pretty awesome in general. Was that the end of the email?
What was the question?
It was, yeah.
Oh, okay.
There was no question.
Just a member. Member?
I still want to know about the wiggling thrifty.
I think he wants us to test the PlayStation VR, the original, to see if it still works on PC. Because you can pick those up for like $50 refurbished from GameStop sometimes.
And I'd have two VR headsets that I don't use, so I don't...
That's two more than me. That. All right, Jaron, tell us about the bad news at EA. Let's get out of the way. I hate this part
of
the show.
It's
a reoccurring theme.
No, we talked about Sony.
That's the problem. It happens every week.
I think we talked about EA's layoffs, too.
No, this happened on February 29th. It was updated February 29th.
Yeah, I think we talked about it. We can talk about it again.
No, this sucks.
More job cuts at EA. They've shut down a lot of future projects, namely in their IP licensing category. So the Mandalorian Bounty Hunter game that Respawn was making is no more. And it's interesting news because EA is supposed to be making a Black Panther game.
Iron Man game.
Yeah, and an Iron Man game. So just more unfortunate news in a unfortunate industry right now. It sucks. Sorry, everybody.
Six.
Like I said, we talk about it every stinking week. And
it's
because
it happens
so
every week.
It.
It's crazy. It is, you know, it's like I think I said it last week. It's common for... or it was common for developers to have a period of shrink and grow based on what they're working
projects,
on.
Projects, right?
Projects. Yeah. But this is beyond, way beyond anything that the industry has seen up till this point, where these are companies, profitable companies that are doing well, that are having to make cuts because their larger owners are just like, nah. We need to please those shareholders.
And this happens so much, we confuse it with stories we talked about last week. And I confirmed it was just Sony that we talked about last week.
Okay, well,
not
there you
EA.
Go. Yeah.
It's just happening so much.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe this is what you just described, and it's just a super cycle of games that released last year that...
But the layoffs, the layoffs aren't as big.
It has to be.
The layoffs aren't as big.
It's a little foreboding, though. Like, yeah. In the game, like, what good games do we see coming from these studios now if they're laying everybody off? Like,
well, the problem is it just means the people that are there are going to have to pick up their slack. Harder, you know, they're just going to have to work harder. And
well, if you're at WB, they want to double down on the live service games.
Oh my gosh!
So this year they released Suicide Squad, which got horrible reviews. It tanked. Nobody bought it. Like,
not
concurrent users on Steam is in the hundreds worldwide.
And not only that, it's still a month later having server issues.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yep.
And contrast this to what WB did last year with Harry Potter or Hogwarts Legacy. I mean, it was the top selling game of last year. That was not live service. It was a single player game and it sold like crazy. Tens of millions of copies. They made them a ton of money. So when you see those results and contrast them so close to one another, what do you think you would do if you were a leader of WB Games? Would you double down on this live service stuff, or would you go for maybe the single player, which made you a ton of money last year?
This is a tough choice.
Tough choice. Apparently, it is a tough choice for WB because they're saying they're going to be doubling down on live service games.
Wrong choice. In case you're wondering.
Yeah.
Yes, they're looking to avoid volatile markets, so they really don't understand the market that they're in right now. So they say that's a great business when you have a hit like Hogwarts Legacy. It makes the year look amazing.
So
unfortunately, we also have disappointments. We just released Suicide Squad this quarter, which is not as strong. It just makes it very volatile.
So they're just in for that recurring. They want that steady recurring revenue.
And so even according to their own word, it's volatile, but then they're going to double down on that volatility with live service games. Because live service games, it's either hit or miss, and miss is a lot more common than a hit.
Exactly.
But the hits can be huge, in all fairness. Like, if you think about WoW, even most, still.
Most of those hits are lightning in a bottle, unfortunately. Yeah.
It's
you know
true.
What I mean?
It's just like the film and music industry. Like, you're dealing with art and whatever. Like,
the chances of being able to reproduce something that someone else made and have the same level of success is
just poor. That's why you see so many remakes,
poor.
Right? That's why you see so many remakes and part twos, you know, in movies and stuff. Like, people are like, wow, that did really well.
Yeah.
Let's just redo that.
They go on to say, rather than just launching a one-and-done console game, how do we develop a game around, for example, Hogwarts Legacy or Harry Potter? That is a live service where people can live and work and build and play in the world on an ongoing basis. Why would we want to work in that world? We work in our own world.
I go to the worlds like that to not work.
Yeah. That seems to be
to
the new thing,
away
right?
Away from work.
So tone deaf. It's
life
crazy.
Life Sims seems to be the new crafting Sims, and Life Sims are the new rage.
Well, I had a coworker pitch me this game. It's, I can't remember what it's called. I'm going to pull it up here on Steam.
Probably
it's
Nightingale.
It's something different. It's an idle game, but you can use JavaScript to program it.
Oh, this is a super nerd game is what you're saying.
It's called BitBurner is what it is. I'm like, this is awesome. I can use my programming skills to like be awesome in this game. And I got playing it, and it felt just like work. And I'm like,
no, thank you.
Not for me. So I totally get that, not wanting to work.
Well, and I think they're saying too in this that they want to shift focus away from console and make mobile games more of a thing. Live service mobile games. And it's like, are you guys...
They got the wrong advisor whispering in their ear.
Do you remember BlizzCon 2020?
You got phones,
don't
you?
You guys have phones? Diablo Mobile? Come on. Oh,
they got booed off the stage.
They did. They basically
did. That was awesome.
This Sounds guy...
Like hire a Tony to come advise.
I just... Boo. If only, dude, man. Like, I would... I feel like I would... be such a good video game consultant for these kinds of companies.
You'd
be like that kid on Big. You know how that kid gets turned into a grown-up and then goes and works for a toy store?
Look, let me tell you what's...
That's a boomer movie. I don't know what you're talking about.
Let me tell you what's... It's boomer, but it's Tom Hanks. So
it also has a little bit of a weird relationship between the kid and the adult lady. Anyway.
Yeah.
Totally boomer.
It was the 90s.
It was the 80s. Magical time.
Was that the 80s?
So,
all right, Tony.
Anyway.
Tell us about... So you have something here called an MSI Claw. Is this like an arcade game for me to play?
It is. It's a new Claw game, and MSI is releasing a home version of it.
Can I win little squeaky toys?
Yep.
With three eyeballs that look up at me and say, the Claw!
They cost
that
extra.
We're talking about here?
They cost extra, but no. We're talking about the MSI Claw, which is the handheld PC, gaming PC that MSI announced back at CES or around that time. And they've given out a whole bunch of information on it up until this point, except for an actual release date. And they decided to give a release date out today, and it's next week. Just like, hey, we're doing it next week.
That's the best kind of release date, where it's like really soon. It's like, hey, guess what? It's coming like tomorrow.
March,
really?
March 8th. So what is that, Friday or something?
That's Friday, yeah.
And they will ship from MSI on the 12th. They'll start shipping them out, and they'll be available in third-party retailers as well, Best Buy, Micro Center, et cetera. Now, the reason that MSI Claw is interesting is because it's the first handheld to come to market that uses Intel's new platform, the Ultra, Core Ultra, Ultra Core, whatever they decided their stupid naming convention is now. And it's a real test for their Arc graphics prowess on the mobile devices. So it'll be really interesting to see how this compares to the stuff that everyone else uses AMD at this point.
We previously reported that it would not have a VRR screen because their marketing peeps don't know what they're talking about.
Apparently, yeah.
But it will have a VRR screen.
Yep.
So this, again, becomes more interesting to me. I'm really curious how that Intel chip's going to perform, battery life and performance.
Exactly. Lando.
So I have a question. Yes. Jaren, review when?
Yeah, you going to order this?
No, I wish I could.
I mean, that's on par, right? Every new handheld you buy?
I recently bought a gaming laptop, and I can't afford this.
He's out of the gadget streamline right now.
Yeah, he spent his quota. Yeah.
I need at least 2 weeks, guys.
So review in 3 or 4.
Okay, I can commit.
Now we're talking.
Perfect. That's the important part of the story, I think.
So yeah,
the listener must know.
We'll be getting a lot of reviews from actual gaming websites and things, gaming YouTube channels that we'll be able to report on next week or the week after.
Sure.
I'm sure MSI seeded units to the bigger names, weeks ago. And so they'll have day one, they'll have reviews out. But yeah, interesting stuff. Just like Jaren said, how's that Intel SoC going to compare to the AMD stuff? Because
if it compares favorably, it could be a big deal, right?
It could be. But it would need to compare favorably both power-wise and power-wise. Power as far as graphical ability and power as far as
I know what you're talking about. I followed.
Power used.
I got you.
Yep.
And you're not getting much from the form factor over the Ally. It looks exactly the same as the Ally,
super,
pretty much.
Super similar.
Just different color.
Yep. So there you go.
All right. Owen, we're coming to you. I want to know why we're talking about AI in the arcade show and not the help desk show.
This is a Sony story. So, have you guys ever heard of
Sony?
Twitch?
Nope.
You ever heard of
Twitch? I've heard of Twitch.
Okay, good. Well, have you ever seen a AI Twitch streamer?
Negative.
So streamers that are not real, they're AI.
I've seen streamers that use a program to overlay an anime person or whatever as their person. They have those.
So there's a notable example of an AI streamer, Vidal987, also known as Neurosama.
I don't know. I like that name. That's cool.
Yeah. The first one was, I could give or take, but the Neurosama, I was in for that.
Exactly.
But it's interesting because Sony has decided to make a patent to try and lock down a specific type of virtual streamer or AI streamer that would the AI specifically would be analyzing feedback data to determine level of spectator interest, right? Like, is what I'm doing working? They're trying to basically programmatically create viral streams, right? Twitch streams.
Mm-hmm.
Can they do that? Gathering training data from spectator feedback. So you're going to have people
from
be like,
chat.
You suck. And like, that's really not going to go well. It's just going to become a Nazi so fast. Gathering.
<I'm> kidding.
Like time to Nazi. That's the.
It's funny because it's true.
Gathering input data from a user's microphone or camera and performing facial analysis based on data received from the camera.
I hate this now.
Big brother.
Yeah. So. They're kind of talking about, there's also virtual tubers, VTubers or virtual YouTubers. Like it's all, I'm sure you guys have seen that. Maybe not you and Jaren, but on TikTok, you can definitely tell when a video has been created by or is absolutely being narrated by AI, and they're so stupid. Like they take all the cognitive dissonance and the humanities is gone. And while I appreciate the video, I hate the overlay of the words and the context. So, but it's one of their main reasons here is that they're trying to say, look, we could create an AI that basically could create a Twitch stream to any demographic we choose based on the data of that user that we are now compiling from their feedback and whatever. So Just more.
This is AI. This is one step closer towards bespoke shows made by AI for you on demand.
Like at what point? So you've heard of the conspiracy where we are just in a video game, right?
A simulation.
Elon Musk subscribes to this ideal somewhat. This is just one more step towards that. Now we are just watching AI, our creation.
So
there's stream and Twitch and do its thing. We no longer do anything. We just watch our creations from a simulation standpoint.
Absolutely fantastic episode of Futurama this latest season that deals with this. Jaren, did you finish it yet?
Not yet.
You wiener.
I am.
It's
he just took it.
The episode, I think it's the last episode of this season. Let me find the list. I just want to give you the name so that if you could just skip ahead to this one. I recommend everyone go check out this episode. We're in episode season 13.
Where can I watch it, Tony?
Hulu,
yeah.
Only on Hulu.
Yep.
I pay for Hulu.
And, oh no, I thought it would be easy to see what the name of the
come on, Tony.
Episode
was. You're still on the show, buddy.
Oh, there it is. All the Way Down, season 11, episode 10.
IMDb would have probably been the better place to go there.
I am on IMDb.
Oh, I thought you were on the Hulu site.
No,
the TVDB is the best one.
Which one?
TVDB.
The TVDB.
Oh, I'll have to check that out.
The TVDB.
But yeah, check out season 11, episode 10, All the Way Down. Fantastic episode that deals with simulation stuff.
Interesting.
So Sony put in a patent. It's not saying anything is for sure, but if they might have some virtual, more blending of humans and AI.
Hooray.
I hate everything about that story. Thanks, Owen. Let's talk about BG3. It's huge. We knew it's huge already, right? It's so popular.
So it is huge in that aspect, but it's also huge in size. So
yeah. Well, we knew that too, right? We've talked about this.
Wow.
Like, it's like hundreds and hundreds of gigabytes, right?
Well, Microsoft's been talking about this, right? Like getting your physical copy.
That's yeah, what so about. Does your guys' link, is it broken when you click on it? Or is that just me? Anyway, the point is they're going to release a physical copy, physical version of Baldur's Gate 3 on Xbox. And
indirect.
Because of that, they're actually going to have to push it back a couple weeks from their original launch date because they've just they just figured out for sure that it won't fit on three discs, so it'll be the very
barely.
First.
Right?
Yeah, just barely. 560 some odd megabytes.
Yeah, they're only
over three discs.
Ooh, they couldn't have compressed a couple textures.
That's what I was wondering. I was like, that seems like so close.
Cut out just a couple scenes or something.
No.
That doesn't make sense.
How dare you? Don't cut out anything. Just compress it more. It'll be the very first four disc game on the current gen systems.
That's nuts because 4K Blu-rays, they hold a ton of data.
Yeah.
A ton of data.
So how does that work in the real world? Do I have to like get up off my couch and change the disc?
No,
like,
it'll be just like PC. Back when PC used to ship on multiple discs, you need every disc to install it, and then you just put the play disc in.
Right.
And so it's all running off the hard
drive. Just the active. Yeah. Exactly.
So it's not like Riven back in the day where it's five discs and I got to change it every time.
Riven was like seven discs, wasn't it? Something like that.
I think it was five.
I loved Riven.
So I bought Grand Theft Auto 5 on PC when it first came out and it was on in disc form and it was seven DVDs.
Dang.
And it took 3 hours to install that game.
Right? That's nuts to me that Grand Theft Auto 5 still feels like a new semi-modern game, and it shipped on discs.
It shipped on the Xbox 360 and the PS3.
That's bonkers.
So anyway, yeah, I just thought that was really interesting. Baldur's Gate 3 continues to astound.
Huge.
Huge. Huge. All right, so here's another story I know nothing about, so I'm going to say words that mean nothing to me, but mean something to somebody else. Saber Interactive makes escape the Embracer touch of death.
The
Embracer, the horrible company that bought up a ton of video game studios, and then later shuttered a ton of them.
Were they always bad?
No, Embracer? We thought they were awesome for a while.
Yeah. They're like, oh, they're snapping up video game studios.
Right. Yeah.
Be more stability for these studios.
For these small to medium sized studios. Well,
Boy, were we wrong.
Nope. Nom.
Yeah. In fact, at the latest video game awards show, I can't remember which one it was, the host made fun of Embracer, and it cut to the CEO of Embracer being all like angry looking.
Oh, he deserves it. You know what?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does. Anyway, Saber Interactive, owned by Embracer, they may escape the Embracer touch of death. They're
the
looking
embracement
to
of death.
Yeah, the embracement of death. Saber Interactive, they make Knights of the Old Republic. Online?
No. They are currently working on the Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake.
I thought they were also the online stuff as well.
BioWare does.
Oh, yeah. They made it, but I thought they.
Did they hand it off to Saber?
Look that up while I.
I will.
Anyway, they
are
Googling.
Thanks,
Tony. They're looking to sell Saber for around $500 million, 3,500 employees. Why couldn't they just try to sell the other studios? Maybe they did and no one wanted them. I don't know, but
I thought the deal went through. Saber bought itself for $500 million. Isn't that what happened?
Oh yeah, you're right. Saber would become a private company.
They bought themselves back.
Smart. So that's probably the only way out of that.
It was a group of private investors that helped them with that.
So they've done a lot of neat games over the years. They're responsible for or at least publishing. They do a lot more publishing than they do actual development. But Red Out 2, SnowRunner, World War Z Aftermath, Evil Dead the Game, Tear Down, A Quiet Place the Game. I don't know if that one was any good. Or even, I don't think that's out yet. But what was the other one? Oh, they're working on Space Marine 2. And that game looks pretty cool. So, they've done a lot of pretty good stuff and a couple of awesome things and a fair amount of, mediocre, like if you're fans of the genre, you'll enjoy the kind of games. So I'm glad they're surviving though. They deserve it.
Yeah. They saw the writing on the wall. I'm getting out of here.
Yep.
So the game I was thinking of was Star Wars The Old Republic, which is an MMO.
Yeah, that's BioWare.
BioWare got rid of it, so I was halfway right, but I don't think Saber picked it up.
Oh, okay.
So you were halfway wrong.
Yep.
Got it.
Glass like half that. Full.
So talk about things that are leaving and embracing death touches. We're saying goodbye to something called Yuzu.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
I'm so mad about this.
So we talked about this last week, Lando.
I love hosting this show.
We talked about this last week. Broadsword, by the way, Broadsword Online Games are who maintain the Old Republic at this point.
Well done.
Yuzu is a really awesome Switch emulator. So you can emulate Switch on your PC and play Switch games on your PC.
Or handheld PC.
Handheld PC is still a PC, but
this is a crazy precedent, the story.
Yeah,
well,
and so
it wasn't decided by the court, so it doesn't set a precedent.
Exactly.
Oh, they
officially.
Just settled out. They, right.
So anyway. Last week we talked about this lawsuit that Nintendo started against them, basically saying, you guys do way too much work that facilitates piracy, kind of a thing.
Like they say piracy at a
colossal level
scale.
So, and then
couldn't
it took
any
about,
internet provider be accused of the same?
That's the thing, is it's such a
right?
such a broad
why stop
argument.
At this company? Yeah.
But I guess Yuzu or the people behind Yuzu, it scared them enough that they ended up just settling. The case didn't even go to court.
No.
Yuzu is paying Nintendo $2.4 million.
Ooh.
And ceasing any development on the Yuzu emulator and taking down anything related to the Yuzu emulator off all of their websites.
How is Yuzu making money?
They had
Patreon.
A Patreon.
And they were pulling in pretty good money on Patreon. They were pulling in like $30,000 a month.
Wow.
And that's yeah.
But I don't know how many people were developing for it, so who knows how many salaries that spread across. Yeah. So yeah, but 2.4 million was a lot more than I thought that they were going to get out of Yuzu. But Yuzu settled.
Interesting, because, you know,
on that.
Yeah.
And Citra, which they also made, which was a 3DS emulator, is also gone.
They included that in there too. Okay.
They did. So we lost two emulators for popular consoles. And while Nintendo is right, no one should be pirating games. Nintendo is horrible with game preservation.
Exactly.
That's true.
And this goes a long way in destroying that. So,
well, we've had this conversation so many times, right? If you make the content easily accessible and like affordable, people will buy it. And it seems true for movies, games, everything. And retro media. Games. Right? Yeah. Media in general. If you make it easy and affordable to access, will always buy it. But if it makes it hard,
buy old
I'm
games
pirate it.
On a Nintendo platform, I think a lot of people would do that.
100%. Well, you can, but then that doesn't transfer to whatever the new platform is.
Right.
You know
what
I mean?
That's
what
I mean.
That's the problem. You buy it once, and then you buy it again, and then you buy it again, and then you buy it again every time there's a new platform.
Now they make you have a subscription to... Yeah.
That's their dirty little secret, right?
Get games you may not even want.
Right. Imagine selling a game, again, even for any amount. Like, when you sell a game for $50, you got to make that money back from the development costs and all that. That's
marketing,
why it's...
all that.
You know, all that things, right? Imagine selling the game again for $10 without any of that underlying overhead.
Yep.
Like just a port over to the emulator that exists on Switch.
And you're
all that's pure profit.
You're being generous on the price decline.
Yeah.
It'd be more like sell it now
$20
for $20,
yeah,
$30.
$29.99. Yeah.
Yep. So
like,
luckily Yuzu was open source.
Yeah.
And so before the repositories were taken down, people did copy them. There's a few that are
fork
up. One's called New Zoo.
Yeah, New Zoo.
New Zoo.
Another one is called Sue You.
Even
nice,
better.
Nice play in words there.
Sue You.
Yeah.
So
you take down one terrorist and
exactly that's
more
the thing.
Pop it's, up in its place.
Emulation stuff like this, it's like fighting a Hydra. You cut a head off, another one or another two are gonna appear. So it's not really gonna be an issue
they
for very long for users that want to emulate stuff.
I think the moral of the story is don't distribute, don't help people distribute, and don't make money off of it.
Yeah, I think that's where they got really hosed was their Patreon. If they didn't have a Patreon up making money each month, I bet Nintendo probably wouldn't have gone after them, or at least not as hard or not as soon.
Yeah.
So. And they were pretty good with the community and kind of guiding people how to do it, which probably wasn't a good idea either.
Yeah. So there you go. Yuzu is dead. Long live Nuzu.
So if you guys remember, a while back, I want to say a few months ago, maybe before Christmas even, we talked about the new Fallout TV show that's coming
to
Amazon Prime.
Amazon, and baby.
And about 3 months ago, they dropped a trailer. And I don't know if we actually talked about that trailer on the show.
We did.
Okay.
Either
so
way, I didn't watch
did.
And see this trailer until just today.
I think this is one of the trailers that Tony said, watch this, we're going to talk about it on the show.
No.
That sounds right.
That was
right.
Not one of these.
That sounds
right. That sounds like
this
Tony.
This is, yep.
Okay, so to be fair, when it comes to arcade, we all know Lando's a little lazy.
And it might have been a James episode. Let's just throw that out there.
It might have been a James
Maybe
episode.
Maybe that was what happened.
You know
that
what?
One time
I think
James
that's what it
in.
Was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, you get a pass on this one, Lando.
Awesome. So I just saw the trailer today. So my feedback on the trailer is awesome.
Looks right.
I was talking to Tony just a little bit before the show started that Fallout 4 is one of my favorite games of all time, and not because of the gameplay. It was because of the story. And one of the cool things I read about today that I'm actually pretty excited for, I think Tony might have a little bit of a different opinion on this, and that's okay. But they're actually one of the creators of the show or the game is actually saying the show is going to be like Fallout 5, but without a gameplay element. Which I'm okay with, because the gameplay has always been my least favorite part of Fallout games. I'm always there for the story and the world building and all that good stuff.
So
anyway, I thought that was fun to talk about.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of this statement by the one by the creator, because I think half the fun or more of the Fallout games is the gameplay and the traversing the world and making the decisions that I want to make as I go throughout this world. And so I feel like taking that out of it is, you know, it, you can't call it Fallout 5 then. Just call it a story in the Fallout universe. You know?
Yeah, no, I get that point, Tony. But at the same time, all the Fallout games are all... None of them relate to each other. They're all standalone games with standalone stories.
Exactly.
And standalone stuff.
That's true.
I'm okay with this being a standalone thing.
Fallout Infinite. You know?
I think it's got a lot of potential. First of all,
the trailer looks so good.
They have a lot of good cast members. Secondly, it looks like they are spending the money to make the sets and the special effects and everything look good, which is key in a game like Fallout where. The other thing I love about Fallout is the world building and the setting and everything. And so if they nail that, then they're halfway there.
Well, I think the pressure from The Last of Us TV show being so good, it's like, okay, it's possible to make good TV shows from video games.
Yep.
We have to live up to that. So if Fallout can live up to that, we're in for a treat.
Yeah, and it's one of those settings, too, where you can tell any kind of story you want. You know, it's this huge, wide-open... post-apocalyptic world where anything goes. You could tell a love story, you could tell a comedy, you could tell an adventure. You know, it doesn't matter. It's just a fantastic setting for telling stories.
One of the things I noticed in the trailer today was either the producer of Westworld or the writer of Westworld or someone from Westworld is involved. I love Westworld.
Yeah.
So I'm super stoked about that.
I think it's executive produced by the same people that did Westworld.
Either way, Westworld was great. So anyway, I missed the news on this one, so we're talking about it again because I want to.
When's it coming out?
April 12th it's coming out, so I'm pretty stoked. Yeah. That's right around the corner.
That's like a month away.
On Amazon. Yeah, right around the corner.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Where the freak did February go?
That's what I'm saying.
A month to an adult is like 2 days.
I was going
to
say.
It's
right there.
Anyway, I'm pretty stoked about this. The other thing that was interesting about this article that I read is it's canon, so... I think that was implied in what we talked about. So,
yeah, there you go. Yeah, you could tell whatever story you want, and it could be canon because there's hundreds of vaults. So,
right,
you know, do whatever you want. So, exciting.
All right, and then last but not least, we have a PC Spring Sale.
Yeah, buddy, PC Spring Sales have begun. Green Man Gaming has started their Spring Sale, so go check that out if you want to. Find some good deals on Steam games. These are mostly all Steam codes. I think they do have some Epic codes in there too, so make sure you get the one that you want for the platform
Green
you
Man,
want to use.
Does Green Man Gaming have its own launcher?
No.
Oh, okay.
They just
you redeem
deal
on
in...
Uplay or Steam or Epic or Origin.
So their star deal right now as we record this is Back for Blood, which was a really neat game, or is a really neat game, by Turtle Rock, the same people that did Left 4 Dead. And this is basically...
91% off?
This is basically Left 4 Dead 3, and you can get the full game for $7.65. So,
the Diver. Awesome.
Yeah, they got all kinds of stuff going on. I might pick up Helldivers 2, because that one is... 17% off right now. So.
Okay, that's going to do it for me.
And it only starts at $40, so it's like $32. This is just the beginning. They always all the platforms do spring sales. So keep an eye out as time progresses over the next few weeks, and there'll be more things to spend your money on.
More video games I can't play.
I was going to say.
New hardware that I can't touch.
more stuff to spend your money on that you don't have time to use.
The Elden Ring DLC. The Elden Ring DLC's on there.
What's the deal they have on that one?
35 bucks. Yeah, 12%.
That would be an easy buy because that stuff never goes on sale once it's out.
That's true. There you go.
All right. Well, thanks, Tony, for that good news for us to spend money on with things we don't have time to play. And that brings us to the end of the episode. Big. I can't stress it enough. Big shout out to our Patreon listeners. Without you guys, the show doesn't happen, honestly. The hosting fees, the little things you don't think about to make the show go round, you make possible. We can't thank you enough. So if you subscribe to our Patreon and pay us your shekels, there's some pretty cool bonuses you get. You get access to the Super Secret Discord channel, which I have not been active in because I don't get alerts on it. That's my bad. I will repent and be better. You get access to the in-between, which is pretty sweet. You get this show and the other show, the Help Desk show, early. Is that right, Tony? They release at the same time in one feed.
Early, Helpdesk. Ad-free, all combined in one feed.
Yeah, it's all in one feed. So it releases the same time as Help Desk does. So you end up getting Arcade, which is the last half of the one full big show 2 days early.
Yeah, which is pretty sweet. So anyway, go pay us your money, get all those benefits
and
for bragging rights.
You know, bragging rights.
Yeah, none of those are tiered. You can be awesome and pay us $6 a month or as little as $1 a month.
Jaren. Don't undercut us, Jaren. We get bragging rights. No matter what level you subscribe at, you get these perks. So
that's right. You also get a shout-out on the podcast, and Jaren's going to have that for us right now.
Thank you so much to David Broshinsky, Connor Keeson, Wiffleball Tony. You guys are the best.
Yeah.
Just the best.
Jason Eatman, Que Onda, Carnal. Control the Future, Not the Now. Andy Bird, Be the 8-Year-Old. Tony, the Home Theater Geek. Travis Johnson, Buy Geek Show Arcade Help Desk stickers at Pie Man Graphics on Etsy. All proceeds go to Lee George Cade's medical bills. Jeremy, No Name, No Color. Kesslow, Eric Steinman, Eric Cruz. ONS Tech Cred, plus 5.5. Matt Nelson, Harry Patch. Adam, Aaron Faulkner, Stuart Lloyd. History is there for you to learn from or repeat your choice. Ryan M. and Adam Hecht. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you, Jaren. Owen, take us out, buddy.
Hey, we hope you care.